you are responsible for laying aside false assumptions and taking on biblical truth. You are responsible. The pastor can encourage you. The Sunday school teacher can call and check on you. But you are responsible for throwing aside old assumptions and taking on biblical truths. No one can do that for you. Work out your own salvation. Open your mind to the work of the Holy Spirit. Cultivate biblical truth, which means this. Are y'all awake? You have to get up early in the morning. No one's going to make you and read the Word of God before you do anything else. Before you pull out that phone and start scrolling, pray. Pray. Pray for that person. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. You have to do those acts. No one can do that for you.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Backsliding Mind by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Do you have kids in your life? You have to stay on them to do something as simple as cleaning up their room, making their beds, doing the dishes, finishing the homework. Anybody here has perfect kids, right? We have to. And what happens when you walk out of the room, when you step out of sight, they start goofing around. All four of ours did that. They start goof around and play around. And then when you get back in the room, they make some lame excuse for why they were not doing what they were supposed to do. You see, so also many Christians, they begin well in their Christian life, but they don't finish well. And just like kids, they get distracted and they start goofing around until someone holds them accountable, someone checks up on them, and they make some lame excuse about this and that in a season of life and problems or physical health, or sometimes even about the church. But many times you and I know they're just excuses. And there has to be personal responsibility. You see, you need both accountability and personal responsibility in order to combat a backsliding mind. And that's the title of our message today, Backsliding Mind. And this is the final message in this series called Mind Reset. How do you combat a backsliding mind? There has to be a balance between accountability and personal responsibility. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 27. I'm going to also read Philippians 2 and verse 2, which will give you an idea why we are talking about backsliding from this passage. Let's all stand once again for the reading of God's Word. Now, pay careful attention to the words that Paul uses. And it'll make sense why I gave you the illustration. It'll make sense why we're talking about backsliding. Paul says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent." Just like a parent, if you see me in the room or you don't see me, whether I come or I'm not there, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only." You can see mom, you can see dad, so I'm going to do what I've been told to do. "Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." It doesn't mean you work for your salvation, but work out your own salvation. It doesn't mean that I have to do my part to get saved and to stay saved. No, salvation from A to Z is completely God's work of grace. Work out your salvation is to cultivate the mind of Christ. you have a responsibility. This morning, the question is, do you take responsibility for your faith? You know, if you're truly honest, many of us have not moved. This past 4 months, you're still somewhere on square 2 or 3. You haven't moved to 10. Do you take responsibility for where you are today? Do you have people in your life who hold you accountable? Are you backslidden? You know, a preacher said one time, it's the nature of the fire to go out. How is your fire? How is your fire? And before you can backslide, you got to front slide. You got to get saved. If you've never been saved, don't worry about backsliding. Don't worry about your fire going out. You never had fire to begin with. And what needs to happen is right now, in fact, at this moment, some of y'all need to pray. You need to pray to get saved. You need to pray and ask Jesus to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, and to take over. It's a simple prayer that goes like this all over this room. In fact, in the last service, I believe people were praying. It's a simple prayer that goes like this. Jesus, I am a sinner. You are the perfect Son of God. You gave your life on the cross for my sins. I need you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And here's the most important point. And I want you to take over. Jesus, I'm a sinner. You are the perfect Son of God. You died for my sins. I need you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and take over. If you're not saved right now, as I pray, I'm going to pray in a moment and pray for God's blessing. You pray to get saved. Those who've never prayed that prayer, from the front to the back, the middle aisle, side, you pray and ask Jesus to save you. The past 4 months have been life-changing for me. And I know many of you have shared the same thing with me about this series called Mind Reset from Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. It's been mind-changing for me how much God has worked on my life, how much He has reminded me that I've been living under false assumptions, leading to false expectations, causing a lot of frustrations in my life, frustrations that come in the form of anxiety, frustrations that come in the form of guilt, and also resentment. And that we as a Christian, as a believer, we are to leave this volcano behind and move over to the tree that is planted by rivers of water. That we have to cultivate the mind of Christ. It is God's work. But now you have to submit yourself to the truth of God, to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. As you know, Paul was in a Roman prison when he wrote this letter to the Philippian church. Now, Paul couldn't get out. He knew that more than likely he would never get to see the Philippians again. He planted the church in Philippi. He was the one who led the first converts to Jesus Christ. But he also knew there's a good chance he was never going to see them again. But word was getting back to Paul, maybe through Timothy, maybe through Epaphroditus, he mentions them in the letter, that things were not going well in the church in Philippi. In fact, if you read this letter carefully, read between the lines, it's very obvious that they were sort of slipping back to the old way of life. They were disputing, they were fighting, they were fussing, they were conceited, they were excessively proud over their accomplishments and their family backgrounds and their family trees and all that stuff. And Paul is writing to them to remind them not to regress in their faith. Folks, we have to progress in our faith, but many of us, if we're truly honest, we're regressing in our faith. So Paul writes this letter to them, encouraging them to press forward, encouraging them to keep on letting the mind of Christ to be cultivated in them. And he demonstrates a balance. This is beautiful, by the way. It's a balance between accountability on one hand and personal responsibility on the other. Backsliding is very common, and what you need is both. You need other people to keep you accountable, but that's not enough. You also need personal responsibility. It's a balance. So let's look at accountability for a moment. Paul was holding them accountable. In fact, he begins in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, by reminding them that he is confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was telling the Philippians, hey guys, listen, God is in control. God is the initiator. God is the overseer. And God is also the one who is going to complete the work that has begun in their lives. You know, all of us need people like that. When you're going through a tough time, when you're going through a time of struggle, you need people to call you up and say, hey, listen, you're going to be okay. I have people in my life, folks. I have people. They don't go to church here. I have people in my life who are very accomplished, and time to time they will call me. I don't know why they do that, but I'm grateful. They'll call me and tell me, hey, just to let you know, you're doing a good work. Just to let you know, I'm praying for you. You're going to be okay. And I don't know how it works, but many times they have called at the perfect time. And what Paul is doing to them is accountability. He's showing accountability by assuring them that God will finish what he has started in their lives. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't run out. Something else Paul does, he tells them that he is praying for them. Accountability also involves prayer. Now, I want you to hear the prayer Paul prays for them. How beautiful is this prayer? He says that he is praying that their love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And amazing, right? Paul does not say, I'm hoping that you would stop complaining and disputing and fighting. He says, no, I'm going to focus on the positive. I'm praying that your love may abound still more and more in all knowledge, in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Don't settle for mediocre stuff. Choose things that are the best, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I want you to finish well in your marriage, with your children, in your ministry, in your workplace. I want you to finish well. What else does he say? Listen to this. He said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. In other words, Paul is reminding the Philippians that his prayer was that they would finish with flying colors. When I call my parents, they always tell me, son, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. We're praying for your family. We're praying for your church. God has some great, great things coming your way. Wow. It just feels so good when I know that godly people are praying. Then I have people in this church body who will tell me time to time, hey, we're praying for you. I just want to let you know, this church is, you're going to grow, this is going to go beyond these four walls. And I hear that from them. They're sitting here right now. And it just lifts me up. But do you know there are also people who pray for you that you don't even know about? This happened to me very recently. It happened to me, in fact, a couple days ago. I got an email or a message, Facebook message, from a lady who used to come to church, but they moved around, so didn't get a chance to see her in quite some time. She came a few weeks ago. I recognized her right away. I asked about her family, and she was surprised that I even remember their family names. And so I asked about her grandparents, and she said, well, they're doing very well in every way, but her grandmother has some brain cancer going on, so it's been a rough time in their life. So I told her, I said, just tell them that we're praying for them when you see them next. Well, that afternoon, she went to visit her grandmother, her grandfather in Cary. And then she sent me that message just a couple days ago. She said, I told them about you. And I told them that you remembered them by name. And he said, the most amazing thing happened. My grandfather just stood right up and walked to the back room and then came back with a tattered-looking diary, like a notebook, and opened it up and showed me your name in that book. And he said, I've been praying for that man every single day. How awesome is that? I wrote her back immediately. I said, look, you have a godly legacy. You and your family are going to finish well. If that's the kind of people praying for you, I don't even know this couple is praying for me. How amazing is that? They're praying for you, not just for me. They're praying for Clearview Church. How awesome, how uplifting. You see, what I'm saying to you today is you need people like this in your life. You need godly people to hold you accountable. You need godly people to encourage you and breathe confidence in you and pray for you. But something else Paul says here, he tells the Philippians that there was a strong possibility that he was not going to make it out of prison. And he was fine with it. Remember what Paul said? For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I'm good. If they chop off my head, no problem. I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with Jesus. But then he says in Philippians 1:24, he says, nevertheless, on second thoughts, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. I can leave, I can go, be with Jesus, no problem, but you guys need me. And then he says, and being confident of this, because I know this for sure, you need me, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. That's so awesome. Paul is in prison. He has written the letters he needs to write. He knows his time is coming to a close. Make it fast, Lord. Let me get out of here. But I got to stay. I need to stay because you need to grow in your faith. Let me ask you this morning. If God forbid, if something were to happen to you right this moment, I hope not. Hope y'all have a great summer. Do everything you want to do. God forbid something happens to you right this moment, you fall over or you get hit, something happens. Whose faith would be devastated? Who do you know right now who would say, oh my goodness, Lord, please send someone who can replace that man or that woman in my life because I don't have anybody now? Or would life just roll around just fine? You see, all of us need a Paul in our lives, and all of us should be a Paul to someone else. Who is it who would say, oh, God, please help? What a powerful model of accountability that Paul lays out for us. All of us need godly people who can speak biblical truths into our lives. All of us need Christ-like women who would breathe confidence in the work of Christ in our lives. I have people like that in my life. And they check up on me and they tell me they're praying for me. Do you have those people? Let me flip that around. All of us can be a Paul to someone. There's somebody, men. There are other men out there at your workplace. They prayed to get saved, but nobody is discipling them. No one. And what we do is we chalk it away and say, they never were saved to begin with. I mean, if you were saved, you wouldn't be doing all that stuff. Did you take the time to encourage them? Did you take the time to pray for them? Did you invite them over at break and say, hey, guys, we're going to walk through the book of James together. Just come on in 10 minutes, that's all. You say, I don't know the Bible. I don't know enough. I got my own problems. And listen, there's always someone out there who is a little lower than you in their faith. Be a Paul to them. Ladies, same for you. Last night as a family was leaving, they had invited another family with them to church. And the family who attends church said to me, he said, that's my Paul. I said, what is a Paul? He said, you know what you just preached. And I was thinking it was an acronym. I mean, how quickly I forgot my own message. I said, what's a Paul? And she kind of rolled her eyes, and her husband said, you know, the Paul, Apostle Paul. That lady is like an apostle. I said, oh, okay. So it's not just for men only. This is also ladies who are doing that accountability for somebody else. Simple. Who is your Paul, and who around you needs a Paul? But now, let's make a shift from accountability to personal responsibility. Let's go back and read those opening verses again, okay? Starting in verse 27. What does Paul say? He said, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. That word behind conduct that is worthy, it's a Greek word that means to live out your citizenship. It's a word that is used to describe a group of citizens who are living in a foreign country together. You know, Philippians, this is written to the Christians in Philippi, and the people in Philippi were Roman citizens living on Greek soil. So when Paul used that word, politeustai, they knew exactly what he meant. What he's telling them is, even though you're on a foreign soil, don't you forget, you are still under Roman law. You are still Roman citizens. What's the word for us? What was the word for the Philippians? What Paul was telling them, it doesn't matter if I'm there or if I'm not, conduct yourselves as believers. Conduct yourselves as followers of Jesus Christ in my presence or in my absence. You don't need me to stand over you for you to behave as a Christian is supposed to behave. Folks, it's great to have accountability. It's great to have people to call and check on us. But if accountability is the only thing that keeps you away from sin, you have some false assumptions. When we first moved to this town, and after a year of being a youth pastor, I started as a pastor of this church, there was a lady who told me. She said, you don't fuss at me like the other pastor. I thought she was complimenting me. I was like, well, that's good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, I'm more the teaching type. You know, I like to see people get saved and plugged in. She said, no, I need you to fuss at me. I said, why would I fuss at you? If you don't fuss at me, I go up there and act crazy outside. You know, I need you to fuss at me. I said, you mean to just call you up and just get on to you? She said, yes, if you don't see me, you just call me up and you just tell me, where were you? And she gave me her name. Where were you? What are you up to? I said, you know, that's going to be pretty odd for me as a pastor to call up a woman in this town and tell you, where were you? I said, I can't do that. She said, no, I need you to fuss at me. So I did it for a few weeks. And then, unfortunately, after that, I mean, I can't be calling people and fussing at them. I stopped. Guess what? She stopped coming. She kept her word. She needed someone to fuss at her. What Paul is saying here is, there is a personal responsibility. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, whether I see you or I don't. And what does that look like? That you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, getting along without me having to watch over you. He repeats the same injunction again in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2. We read this as well, but he says something different. The first time he says, I want you to conduct yourselves as citizens of the heavenly country, even if I'm not around. Get along with each other. Strive together. Don't fuss and fight. That's the assumptions. Some people have the assumption that church people fight all the time. Break the assumption. Go to biblical truths, which are how beautiful, how pleasant it is for brothers to work together, to live together in unity. You have to move from the volcano to the tree. But then Paul gives another injunction, and same commandment, but with something different this time. Listen to verse 12. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. What do, Paul? Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. He doesn't say work for your salvation. He says work out. And people have debated that line for many, many years. What does that mean? In the context, in the series that we just did, Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11, this is verse 12. In the context, listen carefully, working out your salvation is cultivating biblical truths in your mind and your heart. You are responsible for laying aside false assumptions and taking on biblical truths. You are responsible. The pastor can encourage you. The Sunday school teacher can call and check on you. But you are responsible for throwing aside old assumptions and taking on biblical truths. No one can do that for you. Work out your own salvation. Open your mind to the work of the Holy Spirit. Cultivate biblical truth, which means this. Are y'all awake? You have to get up early in the morning. No one's going to make you and read the Word of God before you do anything else. Before you pull out that phone and start scrolling, pray. Pray. Pray for that person. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. You have to do those acts. No one can do that for you. But then Paul says something in the end. Work out your own salvation. How? What does it say? With fear and trembling. You know that line, that phrase, that clause, with fear and trembling, it's always used in the Bible in the context of godly fear. Work out your own salvation with godly fear. It means this. Even if no one's around, keep in mind, God is watching. Even if I'm not around, doesn't give you the license, men, to look at pornography. Even if I'm not around, ladies, doesn't give you a license to sit there and scroll through videos that you have no business watching. You have to live in the conscious awareness that God is there all the time. People can hold you accountable. I will do the best I can. You know, I do that through social media. Honestly, I've said it before. I want you to hear me, and I hope you don't misunderstand me. I don't care one bit about your life. Nicole will tell you, do I care? I don't. But I do care. What I mean is, I'm not nosy. You have having a great time, God bless you, have fun. You've got a promotion, you bought a new car, you got a new dog or some, you know, whatever, great. The only reason I even do that is just to keep up with people and say, okay, I saw that, beautiful, wonderful, praying for you. Honestly, other than that, as a pastor of this church, I can't keep up with everybody. I can't. It's impossible. It's great to have accountability. It's great to have people who can talk to you. Say, oh, I love small churches for that reason because everybody, well, why are you here? Something was missing, right? No, it's not about small church or big church. It's about seeking out godly people, mentors in your life who can speak into your life, who can encourage you, who can pray for you, who can hold you accountable. Having said that, you have to make choices. You are responsible to maintain unity. You are responsible for working out your salvation.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. If we want to guard ourselves against backsliding into a sinful mindset, we've got to practice accountability with other believers, making ourselves vulnerable and allowing them to point us toward Christ. And we also have to take personal responsibility by diving in, getting involved in different ministries, and growing ourselves as we move toward Christ instead of away from Him. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.